Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, and we'll bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Wednesday, August 5th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
It's another happy hump day, Melody.
Yes, it is. Glad we have those Wednesdays. And it is just... Anyway, everybody knows we talk about it every day, how fast time is going. And so it's just another one of those days. And I'm glad everybody, hopefully everybody was safe from yesterday's storm. Well, it was a fairly easy one to weather here. High winds, very little rain. Gold today didn't have any, there wasn't anything raining on gold's parade today. Gold was up another $19.90 at the New York spot price after market. We had a high of 2,056. 2,056 was the high for the day, and we are currently at 2,040. So 16 bucks higher. It was a great early morning increase for gold. Silver, over $27. Just a couple days ago, it was 24. Silver, 2707. 2707, up 95 cents. Platinum was up $28 today at 973. Platinum was up $52 at 2235. The USDX today broke down the 93 level, 92.84. 92.84 down 0.41. Crude oil was up 45 cents at 42.15. Paper markets today, I really don't have a clue why they're up 317 points on the down. It must have been somebody must have said, oh, there's a vaccine around the corner. Because that's the only thing that really pushes these markets higher. 317. The ADP report was terrible. So we'll have to, so I can't imagine why it was higher. I don't know if it was lower in the morning, Dave, because I didn't watch it this morning. If it was in negative territory this morning, but it's up 317 now, the Dow, 27,145. The NASDAQ was up 51 points at 10,992. The S&P was up 19 at 3,325. I was actually reading somebody's commentary today or opinion, and they made the statement that, well, when gold gets to this level, it's people are going to start selling it because it's overbought. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if anything is overbought, it's the paper markets. So it's just really incredible. You have the European and Asian markets, you know. Biggest mover, I believe, was London. That was up just a little over 1%. So it's everyone is feeling positive. Confidence is good. We'll see what happens when we get the government's numbers on Friday. And we'll be talking about the ADP numbers here in just a little bit. Because we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs, as she does each and every Wednesday, and we have her by telephone today, I believe. We had a little bit of technical difficulties in connecting with Wendy. So, good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hi, Dave.
Hi there.
I thought we'd talk about some accidents that produced the medical products. What do you think?
If you had some accidents...
Yeah, there's a lot of scientific experiments that kind of produced products that were unexpected. For instance, your Viagra, that was supposed to be a heart drug for angina, but that failed as a heart drug, but they happened to notice on the test group that they were doing in clinical trials that it improved hair growth, so they just decided to market it for that. An additional accident was involving Viagra when three Argentinian scientists used it on hamsters, and it was a solution for jet lag. What do you think of that?
Wow.
Yeah. Now, another heart drug also produced a side effect that made the drug company millions. It was called Rogaine. It was also used for hair loss. So we're going to take a look at some of these experimental accidents, because a lot of times what it was intended for turned out to be marketed for something completely different. And if you look at young people in their 30s and 40s taking the hair loss drugs that were supposed to be heart drugs, it is affecting healthy hearts in a negative way. We did a show on that a little while back. So it really isn't kind of every day you hear of an experiment. Like in New Zealand, they wanted to create a new vaccine for meningitis, which is a brain and central nervous system inflammation. But it turned out that it produced a treatment for gonorrhea instead of sexually transmitted bacteria.
Hmm.
Are you still thinking medical science knows everything?
Of course.
Right. And then there's the wonder drug, you know, the antibiotics, because we all are familiar with antibiotics. And the name that they were given in the 1940s was, of course, the wonder drugs. It was supposed to be a wonder how it got rid of all bacterial infections. Everybody was thinking at the time that, you know, we don't have to worry about bacterial infections any longer. And look at us now. We have superbugs. But it was a wonder how this Scottish pathologist, this is how antibiotics like penicillin came to be. A Scottish pathologist, his name is Alexander Fleming, he made this discovery in 1928 when he said to have retrieved a discarded and opened culture dish from his windowsill in his laboratory that he threw there as he was leaving on vacation, and the lid popped off and it sat in the windowsill for 2 weeks. And when he came back, he noticed that in the dish there was a growth of some kind that turned out to be staph bacteria from the mold that was in the air in his laboratory. So I'm thinking to myself, ew, gross. He's got mold in the air in his laboratory. That had to have contaminated a lot of experiments. But it must have been kind of a disgusting laboratory, to be honest, to have all that airborne mold there floating around. But guess what? Fungus in the dish stopped the growth of the staph bacteria. And voila, the mold was called penicillin, and there you go. Wonder drug was discovered.
Very cool.
Yeah. Okay, so and then, of course, in 1956, a New York engineer, Wilson Greenbach, he accidentally invented the pacemaker. He installed the wrong resistor in his device, and then it tended to emit a regular electrical pulse. Then he saw the potential of it, and it took him 2 years to refine the device, and then by 1960, heart pacemakers were being used. Also, here's a tranquil accident for you. The popular drug Valium, or diazepam, it's used for anxiety, seizures, and panic attacks, among other prescribed uses. But it was discovered by accident in 1950 by a Polish immigrant, Leo Sternbeck, who was trying to create, get this, synthetic dyes. So benzodiazepine dyes were a huge failure in the market, but out of them came Valium, and it was the most popular drug in the United States. How do you get Valium out of dyes?
I don't know. What do you do? What'd they do? Eat them or drink the dyes and, oh, wow, I feel good.
Good question how they made that jump,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then how about the microwave oven, right? Here, everybody's using microwave ovens. So in 1946, an engineer and a radar specialist from World War II, his name was Percy Spencer, he left public school at the age of 12, right? And he accidentally discovered the microwave oven when he was working on a radar project. So during an experiment with a chocolate candy bar, it melted. Notice that. So by March 1947, the first microwave oven, which was the size of a man's dresser, weighing 750 pounds, was introduced at the Ideal Home exhibition in London. And then 20 years later, 1967, the microwave oven went from strictly commercial use to residential use for countertop, and it was costing $500 in 1967. That was a lot of money in 67.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And so then there's the accident about blood sugars. This was an accidental experiment in 1889 at the University of Strasbourg in France. It led to the discovery of insulin. Two physicians were doing pancreas experiments on dogs when they removed the organ from a dog, and they noticed his urine contained more sugar. But without the organ, diabetes develops. However, these two doctors never put two and two together to realize, hey, the pancreas regulates blood sugar. So it was not until 1920 that researchers at the University of Toronto isolated pancreatic secretions and then called it insulin. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is.
And then anesthesia got a weird start, too. You know, all the anesthesia that they use now, whether you're going to your dentist or you're going to have a surgery. The invention of anesthesia is debated a bit by some people. Some people list the discovery was an accident in the 1800s by chemists Horace Wells and Charles Jackson, who were credited with the invention of using ether in a gas form. So they accidentally discovered this, and it was originally used as laughing gas, which they were giving it to the rich, and it became a favorite indulgence at wealthy parties. The parties were referred to as laughing parties or ether frolics. So, right?
So, yeah, really.
So the chemists, when applying ether gas to themselves or other volunteers, realized, hey, there's no pain. So they quickly then introduced this gas to the surgeons. And the invention was but the invention of ether itself is credited to a Parisian a botanist and apothecarist, Valenu Cordus, in 1540. He used a compound of sulfuric ether and distilling sulfuric acid and then adding it to ethyl alcohol. So he invented that.
Hmm.
Okay, so what about, you know, women who go get their annual checkups at their doctor and they get a pap smear to check for cervical cancer? Well, in 1928, a Greek physician by the name of George Papachantonou, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, he was looking at uterus cells under a microscope, and he was conducting an experiment to see if he could notice changes in cells during a woman's normal menstrual cycle. When one of the study volunteers developed uterine cancer and he noticed the change in the cells, so by 1951, the pap smear test was being used as an early detection for female uterine cancer. And then there's that lovely Botox. We always know the Hollywood types are using the Botox, which is really botulism. And it's often thought of as food poisoning. And it is a bacteria that can cause paralysis and even death in large amounts. So in the 1980s, a San Francisco ophthalmologist, I should say, he's a medical doctor. His name was Alan Scott. He was testing botulism as a relief treatment for cross-eyedness, and it worked. He also said that when the treatment was given, it offered facelifting side effects, so it gave a cosmetic improvement.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Cross-eyed.
And then what?
Cross-eyedness.
Yeah. Yeah. Cross-eyed. Well, it's muscles on the eyes that tug too tightly, and the eyes are kind of not looking straight. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you take botulism shots or Botox shots, it relaxes the muscle.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And then the stethoscope. The stethoscope, everybody knows what that is. In 1816, a French physician by the name of René Linac, he invented the stethoscope by using a very crude instrument in order to hear the sounds of the heart and lungs. and he would pronounce his diagnosis based on the audio sounds he heard and other visual observations. His diagnosis was often confirmed when autopsies were performed.
Wow.
Man ahead of his time.
So, you know, the invention also of herbal medicine, well, the history of herbal medicine goes way back thousands of years. Many physicians and botanists and apothecaries and herbalists have contributed to this ancient and modern use of herbal medicines. Now, pharmaceutical drugs stemmed from your medicinal herbs before synthetic ingredients were being used. So the most important inventor of herbal medicine is who? Tell me who it is.
I don't know.
That would be God.
Oh.
he invented the herb seed.
Who?
God. G-O-D.
I know.
The creator.
I was being a little honoring.
Okay. So if we real pay attention, we can learn that God has a lot of He puts a stamp of approval on a lot of his herbs for health and healing, and we're encouraged to use them and help people serve mankind in a positive way with them. So science has kind of difficulty giving God the credit for that. And the medicinal healings, your herbs and your spices and your organic foods bring. But we know God's in control, and he has his medicinal creation in the palm of his hand. And one only needs to see that there's a quick healing impact when you use herbs and nutrition, and offers what... Well, God has secret miracles. Remember, he says some things are a secret and man's never going to figure it out. So, protecting our perfect balance of chemistry is what a lot of those medicinal herbs try to do with an infusion of minerals and vitamins and amino acids and things. So it's not a forced correction. It's nutrition to help balance, and the body can regenerate and heal itself. It's amazing what you can do. You can do stuff that medicine says you can't. With herbs, you know. So people need to just remember God can't lie. And his word says herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. So if we pay attention and we trust in the Lord, we can do what white coats can't. And by the way, we're having a moving sale, Melody. We're 25% off orders of $50 or more. And the sale is through the 17th. So this time to stock up before we move. And call the toll-free number at 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the web address. And I'm glad you're okay from the storm. We got a little rain, but not much else.
We had more wind than rain, I think. You know, I mean, a couple times it was sideways. But give us your number one more time.
It's 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Take care now.
Alrighty, thank you,
Wendy.
Well, hopefully we can have her next week off the phone, because it was a couple times it was a little difficult to hear, but she has great information, and make sure you give her a call at 866-229-3663. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you give Wendy a call. I mean, she really does have some great information, her products, and she will keep you healthy. I mean, it's just incredible with what she does, and she's just a wealth of just the information is just an unbelievable. I mean, she could be a doctor. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And, you know, Dave, we've been talking about and we've been hearing about stimulus, and they got to be getting close. People are beginning to get a little restless, I think. You know, it's day six.
And poor.
Pardon?
And poor.
It's day six, and Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary, said the White House and Democrats aim to strike a deal on stimulus 4.0 by the end of the week. And they met yesterday with Pelosi and Schumer, and they were not at the point of being close to a deal, Mnuchin said, but they did try to agree to set a timeline. And, you know, I guess that might qualify for progress, Dave, in D.C., but then I think about people who realize on December 27th that they haven't started their Christmas shopping yet. So who knows? You know, they're supposed to, they know the deadline for giving gifts has passed, but yet they're going to finish their shopping by the 29th. It's practically meaningless, and it's right. What did I hear? Something about people who procrastinate. Well, this isn't procrastination, but they procrastinate because they always meet the deadlines. So that's why they continue to procrastinate. I don't know.
Yeah,
but this,
that's the pure definition of irony.
Yes. Pelosi said last evening that she also hoped a deal could be reached. Mnuchin, White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, said that Republicans would agree to a moratorium on evictions through the end of the year. They also made an offer on supplemental unemployment insurance. Of course, that's one of the main sticking points in the negotiations. And so there you have it, Dave.
Well, we know that the Democrats want to stick with the $600 a week supplement to unemployment benefits that was passed in March, while Republicans have been posturing about cutting that benefit to $200 a week and tying it to 70% of each employee's wages. Now, the two sides reportedly have agreed to provide a second round of $1,200 payments to individuals with similar eligibility as in the first round. Heading into yesterday's meeting, Meadows and Mnuchin said the president was weighing the use of executive action for some aid if no deal is reached. Trump himself has said he's contemplating unilateral action on evictions, unemployment benefits, and the Social Security Medicare payroll tax. But Meadows said after the meeting that the White House would be holding off at least for now. Pelosi and Schumer are meeting with Meadows and Mnuchin this afternoon, as well as Postmaster General and big-time campaign contributor Louis DeJoy on U.S. Postal Service funding needs, while Democrats want, which Democrats want in the stimulus package. Senate GOP continues to be divided, according to news outlets, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said any agreement would have to have support from most Democrats, even if some Republicans don't like it. He added that whatever the White House and Democrats agree to is something, quote, I'm prepared to support, even if I have some problems with certain parts of it. Melody.
Well, you know, the U.S. Postal Service, all they have to do is drop the funding of their pension from 50 years down to 10. And I'll guarantee you that would free up many billions of dollars. But that doesn't solve all of the post office's problems. But that would solve probably the biggest one. And there's not any other entity in this country that has to prepay their pension fund 50 years in advance. I mean, that's stupid. Literally stupid. You know, so we know what the agenda is. They want the post office to fail. And they're failing. And, you know, it doesn't help with Amazon. You know, they've pushed Amazon in there. Amazon is using them. They get, you know, great deals, lower postages. And the employees are ending up having to work more overtime. They have to deliver on Saturdays, Sundays, all times of the day just to deliver Amazon packages. So you're looking at a whole lot more expenses there. And then in addition to the union, get rid of the union, and they probably do real well. Anyway, I ought to head the U.S. Post Office. But anyway, you know, the biggest problem with this, Dave, is, you know, the Democrats went to, you know, $3 trillion plus, and, you know, the Republicans are saying, I don't know why all of a sudden they're trying to be a little, have a little fiscal responsibility, but they only want to do $1 trillion package. So it's that's a big gap to try to to come to terms on. But hey, if you give each other enough, you know, what they want, they'll get it done. I mean, that's one thing they do well, Dave, and that's create programs and spend money. So we'll see where that heads out here in the next. We'll see if they meet their deadlines, Dave. Make sure we put that on the calendar, okay?
Absolutely.
You know, and talking about trade, I saw this yesterday, how the, you know, delegates that are led by the U.S. Trade Rep Robert Lighthizer and the Chinese Vice Premier Liu He are clearing their calendars for a discussion to take place on or around August 15th to talk about the phase one of the trade agreement between the U.S. and China. And that agreement took place 6 months ago. And there's this, it's the countries are certainly clashing. And I think one of the main things is about the Chinese music video app TikTok, which is really, you know what, Dave, it really is unbelievable.
It's almost, it's absurd.
It is. I mean, really?
I mean, the app itself is
stupid.
Absurd at some level.
I know. But hey, the Americans love it. And that's who uses it. We're simple-minded anymore. It doesn't take much to entertain Americans, especially when we're, you know, quarantined to our homes. But anyway, President Trump has threatened to ban TikTok from the U.S. market unless an American company buys it by September 15th. I don't know why the big deal is to buy it. Microsoft is in talks with the government to address possible national security issues in the purchase of the company. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh how do you say your last name, Dave?
McEnany.
McEnany. We encourage China to fulfill their obligations in the Phase 1 China deal and fulfill their end of the agreement. I saw President Trump interviewed this morning, and he said they have, Microsoft has the okay from D.C. to do it. And, I mean, it's just, you know, but he wants a cut of it. And, I mean, it's just like, I don't get it, Dave. I don't get it. But anyway.
I wish I could give you any kind of insight worth talking about. But since I can't, my mouth is zipped.
Oh, come on. Unzip
well,
it.
Well, I think it's safe. You and I haven't talked about this, but I think it's fairly safe to say that our new website will not have the TikTok icon on our homepage.
No, it will not. No, it will not. But anything else you want to add to that?
No.
Okay. This is what I find interesting. 167,000. That number is the jobs number, private payrolls. That's
Uncle
the
Sam,
number they increased.
Uncle Sam is asking for blood donors now. Serious
wow.
anemia, if it's true.
Now, we know there, Dave, we know there is always a big spread between what ADP produces and Moody's Analytics compared to the government numbers. So what they were expecting was 1 million jobs increasing, created from economists, and represents a tumble from the 4.3 million that was created in June. And the market was up 300 points today. Are you kidding me? So either the markets know that the government is coming out with stupid numbers on Friday, and this one didn't faze them, or they just missed this one, or are just going to wait. But you know what? It doesn't matter, Dave, because when you had the Federal Reserve come out last week and saying, hey, your wish is our command, they don't need to worry about any bad numbers, do they?
Nope. Melody, paper market investors, Wall Streeters, have their heads where they can't see the sunshine. There are just so many signals flashing red, not even yellow. And, I mean, we could go down a list of probably 15 or 20 items off the top of our heads, and it really does defy logic. I don't know how you rightfully explain this. I mean, I think it transcends what Greenspan called it, or that irrational exuberance. Some might criticize me, you know, supporters of the paper market, maybe just supporters in life, supporters of life in general, the half glass full, which I generally am. And I think that must be what in large part has been driving things since March. I mean, particularly with, I mean, people like Dr. Fauci, who's a very controversial figure, admittedly, but whom still recent polls suggest that a slight majority of Americans still believe, I'm not sure if that's quite the word, but believe numbers that he's about. They're somewhere hidden in this. And let's remember, the S&P really is still up only a little bit higher than 2% for the year. If it weren't for the NASDAQ and big tech, I mean, paper investors would be in big time in the hole now. Thank God for gold. And maybe it's just this thing called hope that's driving all this, Melody. That was what I was trying to get to. Sorry it took me so long to get around to it.
No, not at all.
Hoping a cure, as you suggested. I think half tongue-in-cheek that there must be another vaccine announcement out there.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, and it all comes back to the Fed and government. I mean, they know. I mean, you know, even, I mean, allowing an American company to buy a Chinese, like TikTok and so forth, without, I don't know how long they've been doing it or, and what was checked out. And so, but, I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's just okay. It's like everything is okay. It just doesn't. Nothing matters anymore.
In a normal day on Wall Street, we can even say after the Great Recession, somewhere in between then and now, for just the picture of that massive explosion in Beirut would have sent the stock markets tanking. That alone. Regardless of the reason, whether or not, you know, that there was any nefarious actor involved, but we live in interesting times.
You know, we really do. And even if it would have been a knee-jerk reaction, and the markets would have come back today, you know, here we know nothing about what happened. I mean, that is massive, and that's going to have massive fallout. No pun in, you know. Other fallout, that country, that I mean, they were having a, you know, economic problems as it was. So a part of it is all by design. It couldn't have come at a worse time. You've got Hezbollah in there, and you know, so who started the fire? Yeah, it might have been the nitrate that did the exploding, but who did the fire? Who started the fire? Because they said there was fire before it all exploded and so forth. So anyway, back to these July private payrolls, 167,000. They were expecting 1 million, and it was a tumble from 4.3 million that was created in June. That, combined with May's 3.3 million increase, still leaves the jobs market well short of the 20 million positions lost in March and April as we went into the shutdown mode. And despite, and I said, there was little effect on Wall Street. And we know there's big numbers between the ADP and government numbers that'll come out on Friday, but it will be interesting. We're heading calling into a break. Yep. Pardon?
Nope. Calling for 1.5 million on Friday. 1.5 million broke.
Well, if they get it, there's going to be a little asterisk at the bottom and saying this might be a miscalculation. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. 1-800-375-4188 for discount gold and silver. For all your gold and silver coin needs, give us a call. And products getting hot. Prices are moving. And yeah, we could see pullbacks. And I worked with a gentleman yesterday, and he called me up. And he says, you know, I talked to you about a month ago, or I don't know, maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, and I was waiting for prices to drop, and now they're not. And this is what happens. It's just Murphy's Law.
Don't market time.
You can't market time. And I can't tell you, even when I do it, you know, I'll go in and buy, and next day the price will drop. It's like, oh, well, you know, I could have. I mean, it just happens. When you sell, price goes up the next day. Always happens. So you just don't look. If you make a decision, you just go through with it. Because what you're making that decision on isn't based on the price of the item you're buying, whether it be gold or silver. You're basing it on the fundamentals and understanding that you're looking to preserve your purchasing power. The price really becomes secondary, because that's not why you're buying gold and silver, is the price. So when you make the decision, you just do it. And for those of you who have oodles and oodles and oodles of money, I can't even say it, you can do a little bit of cost averaging, but I don't even think that would work in this market, because the price keeps going up. That only helps if you have pullbacks. So again, you just go in, you buy, and you put it away, and you have no more stress. You don't have to follow the markets anymore. You can feel secure in what you have, and you know that you're not going to be losing 70% of your assets or more. 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I just wanted to finish up a couple of things. I think we mentioned this on the program earlier this week about the disconnect between the, well, wait a minute, between the stock market and the economy. And I think what's really important are some of these numbers, Dave. I mean, these sectors. I mean, we talk about the retail apocalypse. The department stores are off 62%. And I think these numbers, I've seen numbers worse than these. And you look at airlines, down 55%. Resorts and casinos, down 45%. I saw maybe it wasn't this. And this is, I mean, they're just getting crushed, Dave.
They are. They are. And, you know, we hear so much these days about the Fed, a little less about the Congress, but it's mainly the Fed and money supply, rich people propping up the economy. And with whatever, how are you going to characterize it? As irrational exuberance, as good luck, as just an indomitable faith in the in capitalism, whatever. There is just so much evidence out there that the stock market is disconnected from the real economy. And just as you know, Melody said, and of course we've talked ad nauseum about jobs and how so many tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, in fact, if not more than a million, will never be coming back. At least the jobs that existed prior to the pandemic. And again, the only thing that's been carrying, I think, the stock markets this spring has been big tech. Mm-hmm. And no wonder. I mean, you got 5-6 of the biggest monopolies the world over. And that's a topic for another program. We've touched on it recently about lack of antitrust enforcement in our country over the last however many decades. And it just gets worse. And the big get bigger, and the rest of us get shut out.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, Dave, what do they do to help this country? I mean, phones are made in China.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm sure we can think about it and talk about it and come up with some positive things. I mean, on a personal level, Facebook has opened up a pathway to reconnecting with my old high school classmates, as it has, I'm sure, for millions of other Americans. But you know what else big, and we can talk, I don't want to hear people criticize talking about mainstream media. There have traditionally, historically, I'm speaking, and I'm not mentioning any outlets. It's a different setup these days with corporate ownership, but we used to have newspapers and journalism in this country, Melody, that the people trusted, that people depended on. And you know what? Big tech has ruined that. Big tech has replaced quality journalism and reporting. And not just them, but I think they got to take a big part of the blame for how people now no longer trust what they're reading in not just the major newspapers of the country, but even their hometown newspapers. And everything now seems to, and it could be that's a transcendent issue. I mean, it could also depend on things like confirmation bias and not reading what we want to hear and all that stuff. But I'm a firm believer that big tech has ruined the way Americans get our news, and that has really hurt our politics, and I believe hurt our democracy, regardless of what political party you're a part of and support and believe in. Anyway, that's my rant for the moment.
Our republic.
our republic. Constitutional republic.
Yes. I agree. I mean, and I'm not a fan. I mean, sure, the little gadgets, the things that we have fun with, and, you know, we can, you know, who entertain, and, you know, hey, was it, I think it was classmates where I ended up finding my cousin that I hadn't connected with for 30, 40 years. And
careful, you're only 39.
I know. Okay, well, and we connected, and I moved, and now my life, you know, he's a very big part of my life. His family and his friends are a very big part of my life. So yeah, there's good things, but when you mention the media, when you mention the big things, you know, I it's just irritating. Like, and it's all about their computers. You buy a computer, it's just no good after 5 years, 6 years. They make them so you can't download things after so long. And it's not that they just become antiquated and, you know, they don't function anymore. It's not that these programs are so far advanced that your computer couldn't handle it. It's designed that way to make you go out and buy a new computer. That's what they've done to everything.
Planned obsolescence.
And I don't consider that as capitalism either.
It's bad capitalism.
Bad.
Petty bad. Capitalism.
You know, and it's technology that has allowed the surveillance of Americans, and so yeah, a lot of bad has come from it. I think more bad than good. But what do you expect in the world that we live in, where we have so much corruption? It's just like the pharmaceutical industry, big pharma. You know, it's so corrupt anymore. You know, but Americans just keep dishing out we keep getting slapped with, you know, pharmaceuticals that are, you know, 2,000% more than anywhere else in the world. You know, we subsidize the world's medications. Of course, most of the world isn't on as much medication as we are.
Got to pay for those Super Bowl ads.
Yep. I mean, you know, big, you know, Monsanto, and everybody knows these stories. Have they destroyed our foods? And, you know, I guess that's the price tag you pay for success in this country, for being the greatest nation on the planet. Is that what we've sacrificed? Our health? Our wealth? Let's go ahead and change the topic. I do want you to, well, we got it. Yeah, we have enough time. Let's talk about your Levity is Golden. Introducing a police vehicle by Ford. And, you know, maybe we can talk about some of these things on Friday, where how inflation is hidden in the money supply growth. I think that's important. Social Security benefits for those 60 and younger could be reduced. They'll probably be eliminated, and it will be reduced for those 60 and plus. That's how I see it. But let's go ahead and talk about your what's the topic today, Dave?
Well, it features police vehicles. Ford Motor Company, the second largest U.S. automaker, but the largest seller of police vehicles by far. Of the thousands, actually tens of thousands of vehicles patrolling our neighborhoods throughout the country, Ford controls almost two-thirds of police vehicle sales, and has been now going on 7 years. Ford's Police Interceptor Utility, which is the police package version of the Ford Explorer SUV, accounts for a good portion of that. In July, outgoing Ford CEO Jim Hackett had to address concerns from his own employees about Ford sales to police departments, similar to Google and other big companies. Of course, that mea culpa of sorts came at a time when law enforcement agencies around the country have been under intense scrutiny. But police departments need vehicles, and money, Melody, is money. And besides, Ford's fleet sales end up being a small share of the company's overall business, but they provide a steady income for an automaker in an otherwise highly cyclical business. Last year, for example, Ford sold over 22,000 police vehicles to police departments in the U.S., although that's down from an average of almost 38,000 in the prior 5 years, with sales generating over $1 billion in revenue last year. And it's hard to get that number, as it's built into other revenue numbers. In any event, Ford's been selling vehicles equipped with dedicated police packages to departments since 1950, when it became the first manufacturer to offer a police package vehicle. As of 1961, a study found that 58% of police vehicles in use in the 50 largest U.S. cities were made by Ford. 20 years later, Ford introduced its Mustang Patrol model, which the California Highway Patrol was seen styling around the state in 400 of those cars. A year later, the now famous Ford Crown Victoria, known as the Crown Vic, became synonymous with police cruisers throughout the country until the model's retirement in 2012. In 2002, Ford became the first car manufacturer to offer factory-installed bulletproof door panels mounted on the sides of vehicle doors. They still don't come standard today, but they're a very popular add-on, particularly larger police departments around the country who are faced with more and more violence from major automatic weapons. And in 2018, 15 years after it laid out the Police Explorer package, Ford introduced a standard hybrid all-wheel drive version of its Interceptor sedan and SUV, both outperforming even the V8-powered engines of old. And despite all the recent controversies involving police departments around the country, Melody, many industry analysts don't think Ford is likely to abandon its police vehicle program anytime soon.
No, I can't imagine that they would. In fact, they should increase them. Anyway, thank you. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.